everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the Well and Well podcast. We've done 10 episodes. That was crazy. I've just absolutely loved it, and I've had so many amazing guests on. I really, really appreciate them taking the time out to talk to me on such a new podcast as well. And also to all of you listeners for supporting me and listening to this. And you know, it's quite difficult to get supporters of something that doesn't necessarily have a track record. So I just really want to say thank you so much for supporting me and listening to this podcast. So today is a solo episode again, which I'm really excited about. And I am going to be talking all about the topic of mindset today. So I've said it before, and so much goes into the point when you think, oh, I don't really know if what I'm doing is what I want to do. I don't really feel good about myself anymore. I don't really know if this is the right thing for my life, until actually like finding the right thing. So much goes into that like phase in between. And it can be time as well. And I've said it on other podcasts that you always hear on these podcasts, in these books, that people say, oh yeah, so I just really hated my job, so I just quit and started a business. And like I said before, there is so much more behind that. That is not what happens. Maybe for like 0.01% that happens, because they've got the money and the support network behind them already, and they don't really have any risk necessarily, but for the majority of us, that just isn't the case. So yeah, today is the topic of mindset, and you can call this what you want. I guess it's mindset. It even lends itself hand in hand with kind of mental health. It's a very trending topic at the moment, but I just want to talk about my experiences with it and my thoughts on it as well. Mindset is the biggest, most fundamental thing that I worked on before taking the leap to quit my job to start my business. And it really does kind of go hand in hand with mental health. If you don't have a strong mindset, it's likely that your mental health is going to suffer. And really, when we talk about this topic, it gets quite deep when we talk about like why mindset, why mental health, like why anything. And I personally feel that in life, we're all striving to feel happy. So that is what we're trying to achieve. Like whether you call it purpose, whether you call it success, anything, fundamentally, when you draw all back, we want to feel happy, right? And all too often we believe or we look or seek out external factors to make us feel happy, whether that's in people, whether that's in partners. Like lots of people feel the need that they need to have a partner to feel happy. They can't necessarily be on their own. Or another example is we're conditioned in the Western world to use material things. For example, when I was unhappy in my job, I was always looking to buy the next designer bag, and watches. Holidays was my thing. I literally was always on holiday. I couldn't spend enough money on holidays, and it was really that escapism. It gave me that short hit of dopamine, that happiness, but that just didn't last. This is the problem with material things. And it becomes an obsession over time, because you constantly need to be buying more and more and more, consuming more and more to keep that dopamine hit. And I guess this also lends itself to social media as well. And I mean, you're all probably sick of hearing about this, but that's exactly it. Social media gives us that instant dopamine hit. Seeing likes, we all go onto social media and it chemically alters the balance in our body. It gives us that dopamine hit. And I guess that's similar in terms of lending itself to the material thing. So you're getting that short-term hit, but then it goes away. And then you need to go and find it again. So you consume even more. And that just is a really unhealthy way to find happiness. And it doesn't have any longevity either. It's not sustainable. So I have heard this topic for a while now called mental wealth. And the mentally wealthy are those, in my opinion, who can get into that happy state without any of those external things, like any of those material things, social media. It's an internal thing. They can get into that state themselves. And they can do it because of their pure, I believe they can do it because of their like pure love of life. And I believe that everybody can get to that point, but you have to kind of do the work and you have to work on your mindset. You have to do lots of different things to work on yourself to be able to get into that state. And it's hard. It is hard. It's confronting work. It's stuff that we've never really done in our lives. So it's uncomfortable. I went to this Tony Robbins convention. He is like one of these personal growth gurus. He's pretty famous in the personal growth world. And he held this 4-day convention in London in April called Unleash the Power Within. And one of the key takeaways I took from that was he explained the key to happiness is the ability to change our psychological state. And he was drawing on his experience of having spoken. He's a coach and he's coached billionaires, athletes, like the people who we perceive as being the real successful people in the world. And he explained that, you know, they are not all happy. They're completely on a spectrum. There are some that are like, they've achieved so much success and they're super happy and like, it's amazing to see. But then he also said there's billionaires that are just completely unhappy and their money doesn't really mean anything to them. And they're addicted to making money because it's just that dopamine hit again. And what he has derived from his observations of speaking with these people are that the key to happiness is the ability to change our state, not based on any external factors. And that's really, really hit home with me. And to me, that is mindset. So I kind of think of mindset, our mental health, I think of it as on a scale that fluctuates along the scale. But the key is to be able to use mindset to manipulate it, basically. So if you're sliding down the scale and you feel yourself sliding down the scale, the ability to then get yourself further up the scale yourself without having bought material things and getting that short-term kind of artificial hit, that is the key to mental wealth, happiness, whatever you want to call it. So just going back to what Tony Robbins said as well, just to draw on my experience of his convention. So it was pretty intense. It was 4 days and it was literally from like 9 a.m. till about midnight every single day. There were no toilet breaks. You just had to go and risk missing the content, which I found really, really annoying. There were no food breaks. And also there were so many, like, I think there were 12,000 people there. There were so many people that the queues for the food was just ridiculous. It was pointless. And for some reason, there's like hardly any refillable water stations in the XL. So lack of water as well. So it was like not that luxurious, put it that way. And doing all this deep work for that long is like mentally enduring. But I think that he did this on purpose because it was putting us in a physically challenging state, not necessarily having a lot of food or water, not being able to go to the loo when you wanted, things like that. But it also, it was like a show, and at times it was like a rave. It was crazy. And granted, some of the music choices wouldn't necessarily be my choices, but what he was showing was that every now and again he'd be like, everyone get on your feet, and the music would be pumping and you'd have to move around and like dance and stuff. And what he was showing was by doing these things of just getting up, moving your body, getting some pumping music on, you can completely alter your state. And that's because you are chemically altering your state. And that's why people say working out is so good for you, because working out produces endorphins, which changes our chemical state in our body and makes us feel more pumped, more happy. So what he was saying is you can scientifically manipulate how you feel about something by changing your state. And there are tactics to use to be able to do that, like working out, listening to music that motivates you, listening to motivational content and things like that. So this is the stuff that I'm going to go into. If this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, I won't go into my story in too much detail, but if you want to learn a bit more so you have the background, I'd encourage you to go and listen to episode 6, where I dive into a little bit more about my story. But essentially, I started out in the banking industry, job hopped around, never found anything that
I really felt like was what I was meant to do in life. And I really had this pull to starting my own business, but I just didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the idea, and I just didn't have the will to go and do what it takes to do that at that time. But again, if you want to learn more about that, go and listen to episode 6. But looking back on that time, so I spent about 6 years in corporate, and to be honest, within my first year of working, I knew I wanted my own business. So it took me 5 years to get to this point to just quit and take action. This is why it goes back to what I said at the start. So much goes into this kind of phase. But looking back, I had a lot of mindset work that I did, and I didn't even realize that I was actually doing it. So looking back on the 5 years, I was getting myself ready. I was prepping myself to be strong enough to go out on my own. And at the time, I didn't kind of realize that's what I was doing. But when I've looked back on this now, and 100%, some of the most key pieces of work that I was doing was mindset stuff. And in preparation for this podcast, I've looked back on some of the things that I did. And I want to go through some of these with you to help you, because I'm just a normal everyday person. And if you're feeling like you're in a shit place and you're feeling stuck, like I felt the last few years, I felt like, I even said to my mum once, I just think I've lost all my ambition. I've lost all my will, but I've lost everything. I felt like I wasn't myself. I just felt, and it spirals deeper and deeper and deeper. And you start to get into a bit of a state of desperation as well. And I think if anyone is feeling like that, really freaking themselves out with how they're feeling, and just feeling like you're just generally feeling in a shit place. This is why I'm doing this podcast, and I'm hoping that you'll pick up on some of these things that I went through during that time, and they can help you. Okay, so on to the first one then. People use a variety of different words to describe this topic, and it's going to resonate. Some words resonate with some groups, and some like turn other groups off. So it's about confidence, self-love, your relationship with yourself, your self-worth. Now, we often hear this more in the feminine, marketing, like we hear this all the time, but it annoys me because this applies to everybody, and it's really just confidence. But what goes into this is how do you choose to use your time? And how you choose to use your time is sending a signal to yourself in terms of how much you care about yourself. And when you send that signal to yourself, that really affects your mindset and how much you trust yourself. And that affects your performance in life, basically. So I would use some examples of job. This is the big one, right? If you're in a 9-to-5 job, right, in London, it could be anywhere, but I'm going to use the example of London. First of all, it's not 9-till-5. It's more like 8-till-6, if that, you know, it's usually longer than that. And you're commuting before that, you're commuting after that. So really, it can be sort of a 7:30 till 8 situation, okay? If you are not enjoying your job and you're thinking, this is paying the bills, but it's not really fulfilling me, but okay, I'll just keep doing it because I don't really have anything else. And this is what everybody does. This is life. I have to work. But if you're not enjoying it, but you're putting yourself through that every single day, you are telling yourself that you're not worth doing anything that you enjoy more. You're not worth doing anything that's more important to you. And that is a really strong message. And I personally found this so much it was like a vicious cycle for me. I was going to these jobs and feeling like shit, hating what I was doing. I was going home, I was lying on the sofa, and I was saying, oh my God, it's only a few hours. I don't even want to go to sleep because once I go to sleep, I have to get up and do it all over again. And what is that telling yourself? Like, what message are you sending to yourself that you're putting yourself through that something that you just really don't want to do. That is just not healthy. And the whole like thing about, oh, okay, everyone does it, I've got to work hard to pay the bills, that's about beliefs, and I'm going to go on to that. But how are you choosing to spend your time? Are you choosing to spend it doing things that you love? The other thing is on that point. So in my goals workshop that I did at Take Charge the other day, I did an exercise where I got everyone to write down 10 things that they love doing in their life. And that could be things that you used to do from your childhood. It could be arts. It could be sports. It could be anything. And I got them to look down the list once they'd written it and say, okay, which ones show up in your life today? And a lot of them didn't circle many. And this is the point. You need to be spending time on things that you love, and your mind will spend more time in this happy state. And as I said on previous podcasts, we are 31% more productive when our brains are in a happier state. So it is so, so vital that we spend our time doing things that we love. Just think of something now that you absolutely love, a sport, anything. Think of how it feels when you're playing that. Think of how you feel. Like, you feel good, right? Why, like, incorporate that into your life. Do it more. Get more of those feelings. For me, I get that through tennis. I've been watching Wimbledon all week. I've hardly been doing any work. It's been really awful. But I've been loving watching it. And I just cannot wait to get back out there, outside, in the fresh air, playing tennis. I just love it. It just brings me so much joy. And just find something that does that to you and just incorporate into your life. And you will see a difference, I promise you. However shit you're feeling now, just think about one thing that you've enjoyed in your life and just go and do it. Make it a priority. And honestly, I promise you, you'll feel better for it. Okay, the other thing is working out and eating healthily. So this is another thing that I think is really, really important. So if we make an effort to be healthy, have healthy bodies, we are more likely to live longer. And we are sending a message to ourselves that we look after ourselves. We look after this body that we've been given, right? So if you're going to go and exercise, you're doing your body a favor because you're making yourself fitter and healthier, and you're more likely, statistically, to live longer, right? If you eat more healthily, so I'm not saying dieting at all, because there's two ends to this. You can have unhealthy eating by not eating enough. You can also have unhealthy eating by eating crap. I'm saying a balanced diet, right? If you eat more healthily, eat more vegetables, eat more healthy foods, feeding your body, fueling your body with healthier things, that is sending a message to you. I care about you. I care about your well-being. I care about you, right? And taking my own example of this, when I was in corporate, I was eating crap half the time because I was trying to feel better about myself. It gave me a short-term hit, maybe. I don't know what it was, probably that. And I have always been such an active person all my life, and that's what I was turning to for some reason. Equally, I was also drinking loads on the weekend. I would just drink to get drunk, basically, like Fridays, Saturdays. That would be my thing. I think I like to have a glass of wine. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't not drink. But there's a reason why people drink, and it should be a healthy reason, right? So what I'm saying is, if this resonates with you, if you find yourself all too often eating shit, if you find yourself all too often just drinking to get drunk without any reason behind it, you might enjoy that. Okay, that's fine, right? I had many a fun boozy brunch or whatever. But what is the reason you're doing that? What is behind that? And when I really look behind these things that I was doing, it was because I wasn't enjoying what I was doing in the week, and it was escapism. It really was escapism. I worked on my relationship with alcohol. Well, actually, no, I didn't even have to work on it, to be honest. I did a lot of these things, which I'm talking about on this podcast, and just my relationship with alcohol just completely changed. Now I don't feel the need to get drunk to get drunk, you know? I will go out and enjoy myself, and every now and again, I'll like have a great time and go and get drunk with my friends. And that's really fun, but it's not because I'm drinking to escape my life. It's not that. So have a think about if you're doing any of these things. And if you're doing any of these things, then maybe you've got some mindset stuff to work on. Third thing, who are you spending time with? This is a really important one that a lot of people feel really uncomfortable thinking about, because it can cause you to have to confront some really personal, deep, difficult things. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this because it's really personal, but you definitely need to look around your circle, friends, partners, even family sometimes, and who are you spending your time with, and are they serving you? Are they treating you with respect? Are they treating you like in a good way? Because how you accept people treat you is again another signal you're sending to yourself. If you're accepting behaviors that aren't really acceptable, you're telling yourself that you're not worthy of like being treated any better. So, and I think it is quite impossible to, you can do all the work in the world, but if you've got someone that you spend your time with that isn't treating you in the right way, then it won't work. You have to, that is a massive, massive part of it. So all I'm going to say there is just, you know, you'll know that this is affecting you. And all I can say to you is don't ignore it. Don't ignore that niggly feeling. Look into it. Go and listen to some podcasts that might make it easier. And yeah, I think that's really a really important thing to do. All of these things I've been talking about now, they are all signals to yourself that you can count on me. You can count on yourself. Like when times get tough, I can count on me to do the right thing. And there's a lot of these things. And another thing is snooze. How often do you press snooze? You had an intention the night before to get up at that time because you set your alarm at that time. When you snooze, you're basically telling yourself, I don't have the willpower to get up, you know? So it's just all about little signals that you're sending to yourself that are positive, that are reaffirming that you can count on yourself when times get tough. You can change your state when times get tough. You have a strong mindset when times get tough. They all manifest themselves into actual physical things, which I've just gone through there. The other thing on this stuff is mindfulness. So again, this is another term that I feel turns people off a little bit, but in reality, my experience of mindfulness is doing something where your mind just switches off and you get in the zone and you don't notice the time. So that could be these traditional things we associate with mindfulness, like meditation, right? Meditation sounds a bit scary if you've never done it before, but believe me, I felt as uncomfortable as anyone when I first started it. I can't sit still. Everybody knows I'm really chatty. Like I can't sit still being quiet. But after doing it a few times, you really get into it. And for me, I love Headspace because they're guided meditations. Someone's telling me what to think about. So I would recommend checking that out. If you want a free one, Insight Timer is good. But some of those, it's quite a minefield to find the right ones that suit you. And some of them are really spiritual. So I'd worry that they put some of you off if you're beginners. So Headspace, I think they maybe even have a free trial. Try them out. Yoga is another one. We all know I love yoga. And yoga is so great because you're providing yourself with some time to take time out. You have to just, like the teacher tells you what to do, you have to just do that. And it sort of forces you to have this relaxation time. And again, it is, you're moving your body, you're changing your chemical state, you're switching off. And I mean, I can't sell yoga enough. It's amazing. Other things that are not so traditional when we think about mindfulness that I use, music, for example. Music is massive. If I'm feeling shit and I don't want to feel shit anymore, I have a playlist, which is my go-to playlist that I will put on. And it's songs that like make me feel happy. What I would say is have a few go-to songs, put together that playlist. And I'm always changing it because I get bored easily. But put together that playlist and put that music on and do whatever you need to do when you feel a bit shit, right? The other thing, reading. I lose all track of time when I'm reading a good book or something inspirational or anything like that. If you love reading, I would suggest to fit that into your life. I think it's difficult when we have these busy lives, but can you read on your commute? Can you read a half an hour before bed? Can you read half an hour when you wake up? Can you read once a week on your lunch break? Can you go to a park and read or something like that? Walks in nature is another thing. I love being outside. A lot of you probably feel the same. Can you go for a walk in nature? That is just, these are all things that you're giving to yourself to make yourself feel better. And by you giving yourself the gift of being able, of mindfulness, or being able to feel better, you are supporting yourself. You're saying, I've got your back. And that again is going to help with your relationship with yourself. Okay, third thing. So this is beliefs and keeping going even when things become really tough. So I talk about this thing called limiting beliefs, which again can turn people off, but essentially it's just psychological barriers, whatever you want to call it. Think about it from a sporting perspective. What are your limits? Like, it's limits, it's all of these things. Everybody has limiting beliefs. Everybody has psychological barriers. Everyone has that line. So the way I like to think about this as well is we are born and raised in whatever situation we are. And in that situation, as a child, we are so vulnerable to our beliefs and forming our perspective on the world. And we form this perspective from external stimuli. So our parents, the way we brought up, other family members, environmental factors, all of these things. And over time, we build up beliefs. Sometimes these beliefs aren't necessarily true, or they don't serve us whatsoever. And an example, a really generic example of this, and it's changing, which I think is great, but you know how when people are pregnant and they are having a boy, people often buy them blue colored things. If they're having a girl, they often buy them pink colored things. Then that girl or boy grows up to believe that color is associated with their gender. And really, someone decided that one day. When you strip it back, blue doesn't mean boy, pink doesn't mean girl. Someone decided that one day and decided to make it into a marketing thing. It is a belief that isn't real. And it's the same with like boys playing sport and girls playing with dolls, that kind of thing. You know, thankfully that's changing now. But that, I just wanted to give you an example of where you can have a belief from the way that you've been brought up that isn't necessarily real. And everybody has these. It's about identifying what they are and doing the work to get rid of them. And I, through my one-on-one coaching program, I have a lot of techniques that I can help people with to get rid of these limiting beliefs. And I'm not going to go into it now, but really that is super important. And I think I'll give you an example of one of my limiting beliefs. So I believed that I was selling my I was selling myself short unless I stayed in a corporate job because I'd got a degree. That's what I believed. And it's so ridiculous saying it out loud because I didn't actually like physically believe this. I didn't say to myself, Susie, you're selling yourself short if you've got a degree. Nah, nah, nah. Or maybe I did. Okay, maybe I did. But yeah, I had that belief. And that is just so stupid. Who gives a shit? I didn't really enjoy working in corporate life. Why should I have to do that just because I did a degree? Maybe I shouldn't have done a degree. Who knows? But it's just a stupid belief. So what I encourage you to do is think to any factors that if you're on a path that you don't enjoy, maybe try and think about what are the fears that are stopping you from getting onto that other path. And the other thing is, if money were no object, what would you be doing? And once you answer that question, why are you not doing it? What are the things that you're not doing? And those kind of questions, asking yourself those questions, will help you identify potentially some limiting beliefs or barriers that you've set yourself. Okay. Right. The other thing is, going out on your own and starting your own business from scratch is fucking hard. I'm just going to put it that way. it is tough out there. You don't have the support network of a corporate background. You don't have all your colleagues around you. You don't really have anyone to talk to. You don't necessarily have any money. There's so many things. It's hard. So you absolutely have no space for negativity. And those things that I listed off first about what you choose to do with your time, people you spend time with, they become non-negotiables because you literally don't have space for negativity. You have to protect yourself. You have to build this kind of protection wall around your mindset like nothing else matters, because otherwise you'll give up. And this is the thing, when we, like I say it so much, when we think about these successful people, they pushed through and just didn't give up. So many people gave up. It wasn't necessarily because they didn't have the talent. It was because they gave up at a point. And all these successful people were like everybody else one day, and they just continued. And someone that I just thought was I was so impressed this week watching that Coco Gauff girl on Wimbledon. She's 15 years old. She won 3 matches, I think it was. 15 years old. I mean, yeah, she's got incredible tennis ability, right? She's an incredible talent. But at 15, there are so many margins for error in terms of the mindset. How did she believe that she could beat those people? She absolutely had this belief in herself that she could do it. She believed that she could win, and she believed that she was going to get there. And who is she to believe that at 15, that she can beat Venus Williams? That is amazing. You can believe what you want to believe. Yes, she's put in the work. Yes, she's got the tennis ability. But on paper, who is going to say, what 15-year-old is going to win that many matches at Wimbledon and beat Venus Williams? You're not going to say that. She had to believe in herself. If she didn't believe in herself, she wouldn't have won those matches. So it is a choice. And what can help you believe is doing the work to get there and having the willpower to do all these things that I told you before, working out, not snoozing, all of these things. Not saying that Coco Gauff won her matches at Wimbledon because she didn't snooze. Maybe she did. No. However, you get the point. You get my gist. So you have to take your willpower up a notch. You have to build that discipline for yourself. And you just have no space for negativity. Just shut it down. Don't dwell on it. They become your non-negotiables. So believe in yourself. Okay, next one. Motivation. So motivation is so key for getting yourself out of a place that you are not happy with. And you need to find what your deep motivations are, okay? And sometimes on the face of it, that can be things like money, but money isn't a deep motivator. So what is behind that money? If you want to earn more money, or if you want financial freedom, what is behind that? What do you want to spend that money on? What does financial freedom mean for you? What does that do for you? For me, I would love to be able to make enough money to be financially free that I can live wherever I want in the world at whatever time. That is one of my deeper motivations. So it might not be money, but think about what your deep motivations are. Another one is I love to help people. I'm a people person. I love relationships with people, and I love to spend time with people and meet new people. So helping others get out of a place that I was in before, and I know how they can get out of that place, I feel it's my duty to help them. And that motivation, honestly, is so powerful. It feels amazing doing that kind of work. So whatever it is that you want to do, think about that deeper motivation. Why is it your duty that you need to do these things? What is your purpose of doing that thing you want to do? So work on identifying your core motivations that go deeper than the surface level. Again, if money, what are you going to use that money for? What is behind that need for more money? And again, when I go back to my experiences in the corporate world, I didn't really have a deep motivation behind it. All I had was artificial motivations, get a promotion, make more money. And in the end, once you do a couple of those things a couple of times, it doesn't really give you any satisfaction or any more motivation. So you need to go deeper. Okay, final thing, personal development. So it's almost like revising yourself. It's like taking a step back, reflecting on yourself. Is this personal development stuff? So I have been investing a lot in this stuff, and I really, really believe that it is key to be able to change your state and change your mindset. You kind of need to understand yourself to a level. You need to have this level of self-awareness so that you know what pushes your buttons and what doesn't. So some of the work that I did that really helped was getting to know things like my values. One of my big values is loyalty. So I am very loyal. That can be a positive and it can also hold me back. But knowing that, being aware that that is one of my core values, that I will always default back to being loyal, makes me realize why I make some decisions that I do and whether those decisions are actually serving me or whether it's because I'm a bit too obsessed with loyalty sometimes. So that's an example. Another value of mine is uncertainty. So a lot of people have a value of certainty. They want to feel secure. They want to feel safe. I have a value of uncertainty. So I get bored very easily. I like to do new things. I like to shake things up. That's how I feel alive. And so for me, I need to make sure that I'm always pushing myself, always growing, always doing like new things that excite me, to satisfy this value of uncertainty. And again, it can be negative because I could get bored easily and just change what I was doing, and I could lack persistence with something. So it's about getting to know yourself. What are your values? And then you can understand your drivers for making certain decisions and certain behaviors. And then you can evaluate whether making that decision or behaving that way is actually serving you or not. So you can do that work via personal development conventions, events, books. There's so many mediums that you can use to do that kind of work. And then again, on the belief stuff. So personal development really helps you identify whatever psychological limiting beliefs that you have. But it's really just getting to know yourself and just being self-aware. And by knowing yourself, being more self-aware, you are going to have better relationships with other people. You're going to perform better. And you're just going to overall feel better about yourself because you're just going to know why you do things. And I think in times when you're on a path that you don't like or you don't enjoy, and when you don't feel like yourself, it is so, so important that you get to know yourself, because that's when you will figure out, okay, this is what I really need to be doing, or okay, this is really my passion, or that's when you're more likely to come up with that light bulb business idea, because you know what really motivates you. You know what your values are and you know yourself. Whereas when you don't really know that, you can just be coasting. You can be in a job that you hate, but you don't really know why you hate it. You don't really know what you want to be doing instead. So personal development is something you can go and do that can interrupt that coasting and can really spark some thinking inside yourself of, right, what is it that I'm going to go and do? What will make me feel better in this situation? Okay, so that wraps it up then. I hope you enjoyed that. I feel like it was a little bit all over the place, but those were some of my takeaways about mindset. And just to summarize, so it is improving your relationship with yourself. It is learning more about yourself through personal development. And it is also making sure that you do all these things to allow yourself to keep going when it gets tough. And doing all these things will allow you to believe in yourself, which will allow you to push through those walls, I guess, when it gets really tough. And that is something that you do really need to succeed, especially in business, especially on your own starting out. And then the fourth thing is motivation, just understanding where your motivation is coming from at a deep level, rather than artificial motivations or things that don't really cause an emotional reaction, like just making more money. You know, okay, it causes an emotional reaction short term when you buy that YSL bag you really wanted, but how long for? I hope that you enjoyed that today. If it resonates with you and you're going through some of this stuff and you want some help to support you along this journey, I am taking on more one-to-one clients through my coaching program. It is a three-month based program with 9 hourly sessions. All my coaching is delivered digitally, so online. And the reason I do that is because we're all busy, aren't we, right? The people that I tend to work with are people who have corporate jobs. They are stressed beyond belief, which is why they're working with me. They don't really want to be doing what they're doing, but they're high achievers. They are busy. They don't really have time. But doing it online means they can just slip away into a meeting room for an hour, or they can work from home, or they can literally just turn their laptop on when they get home and come on a session with me. And it's just such an easier way to fit it in rather than having to travel somewhere. So if any of this has resonated with you and you feel like you need a supporter, get in touch. And I'm really passionate about helping people with this kind of stage of their life because I've been there. I've been through it. It took me freaking ages. It took me like 5 years to get to this point because I didn't really have a framework to work against. I didn't really know what all this work was that I was doing. I was just kind of leading blind and found myself doing this stuff, which is lucky, I guess, but it really didn't need to take this long. And some of the difficult decisions I made, they could have been made way earlier. And this is where I really want to come in and help my clients and empower them to make those decisions. So if you're interested in working with me, just get in touch. My email address is hi@susieclark.com. So I am SUZIECLARK. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. And I hope that this podcast helped on some level. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it.